You're listening to episode 278 of Women Worldwide. How much are you paying attention to your body language? Are your words saying one thing, but your body is telling a completely different story? I've got a guest today who has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for tuning in, for showing up, and for being here with us. There's certainly a lot going on in your world as you are navigating what we're calling this new normal. And as you do, always remember, this network, Women Worldwide, is here for you. We're hearing from so many of you, and we continue to bring the guests, the topics, and hopefully the advice that helps you to get through whatever it is you're challenged with and to fuel your passion and your inspiration. Okay, let's get to the topic and today's guest. So the topic is body language. That's right. I'm not sure how much you think about your body language, but it's really interesting because as you speak, sometimes your words are saying one thing and your body is saying something completely different. So joining me on the show and the perfect guest to talk about nonverbal communication is Kara Hale Alter. And Kara is the founder of Speech Skills. She's also the author of The Credibility Code. And she has spent over 20 years researching and has a deep understanding of how body language affects perception and especially the perception of leaders. So rather than me going on and on about Kara, I think it's time that she shares her journey and advice with you. Kara, welcome. Welcome to Women Worldwide.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, we are happy to have you. And, you know, just on before we dive into everything body language, maybe you can just share, how did you sort of come down this career path and why did you choose nonverbal communication as an area to study?
Well, I focus on a skill set that most people think is very intangible. And sometimes it's called leadership presence or gravitas or that air of confidence. And I specifically call it visible credibility. And that's just your ability to project confidence and competence so that other people immediately recognize your value. And I know that this is often for people the very thing that is in the way of moving to the next level. The ability to project that visible credibility. They have the intelligence, the education, and the drive to want to take on larger roles, but that visible credibility might be that missing piece. So I just became fascinated by, well, what is that? Mm-hmm. And is it really intangible? Or can we identify behaviors that really do lead to that overall assessment that someone carries themselves with confidence and gravitas?
That is really interesting. Do you think it's hard for people to recognize these behaviors in themselves? So sometimes a leader might think, well, what do you mean? I am really confident. Is that hard for somebody to recognize?
I think that it is because the way we feel on the outside isn't necessarily how we are representing ourselves from another person's point of view. And this does point to how assessments are made when we meet someone or interact with someone. The very first level of understanding is we just have a feeling. We like them. We don't like them. We feel safe or we don't feel safe or we trust them or don't trust them. But if you were to ask someone to go a level deeper and say, well, what led you to that assessment? Most people can then identify a character trait, which is, well, she was just so warm and friendly, or she was just kind of standoffish and arrogant. Hmm. But all of those assessments are informed by visible or some sort of observable cue. And that's what fascinates me, because that's where the power lies. If you can identify what was the observable cue that led someone to that positive assessment about you or negative assessment, that's where your power lies, because you can change an observable cue. That you have control over your behaviors and your actions.
So what are some of those cues or tells that say that somebody would find you very approachable or not on the negative side?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are three pillars to projecting credibility and confidence, and they have what we call a disproportionately positive impact on your image of leadership presence. And that is strong posture, mm-hmm. strong voice, and strong eye contact. So those three behaviors tend to set a foundation that you carry yourself with personal power. On the other end of the spectrum, there are many things that could derail that image, but I can give you two examples right now. One, of body language. If I were, when I'm speaking to you, bob my head around a little bit too much and just have all this wiggliness going on in my style, it actually...
It's still not you.
Well, but it's a fairly universal signal that when we keep our head level, literally being level-headed...
Oh, that sends a message.
It does. It's a show of confidence and of a certain internal power.
So no matter what you're saying, even if it was a brilliant, brilliant speech, or you were coming up with the greatest idea, if you were bobbing your head that way, it would not come across well. But clearly.
Exactly. And that was a visible cue, but we also respond very, very intensely to audible cues. So far in this conversation, I've been primarily using downward inflections. But if I were to change that behavior and start using upward inflections at the ends of my statements, it's possible that in the back of your mind, you'd associate this with some sort of character trait, that I'm just now not as mature or as committed to what I'm saying as I was before. But actually, the only thing I changed there was an inflection.
Do you think that, is this a trait of women? Or, I don't want to stereotype anything.
Exactly. I think we do need to be careful not to stereotype these behaviors, but sometimes there is, in general, a tendency toward one behavior or another, depending on how we identify. And I will say that women are more likely to use those upward inflections, but it's not so much the gender that is the defining factor. It's that women are more dedicated to coming across as collaborative or friendly.
Right.
And so that upward inflection tends to be very inviting. And it says, are you hearing me? Is this coming across to you?
Right.
And the downward inflection tends to say, I mean what I say. You can count on this.
Got it. So in those boardroom meetings, you want to make sure that you're not going up in your...
Exactly. And you can still be inviting and use a downward inflection. And the way that you do that is just by having lots of vocal variety. So right now when I'm talking, there's a lot of variety going on, but I'm ending in this downward tone.
Interesting. What about, so I remember being at a conference where I was speaking, and it was a group of MBA students, and there were probably about 500 of them. And I was observing just body language in the room. And tell me if this is something or not. But I just noticed that a lot of the women were very neat and tidy and packaged. And the men were all spread out with their arms and their stuff. Is that something that you've noticed? Or did I just catch everybody on an odd day?
I think that, yes, women are committed to coming across as very professional and very polite. I want to reframe committed. It's almost as if it's an expectation that we should come across as very professional and polite. And men aren't are always held to that standard. And for them, being relaxed and being comfortable taking up space is maybe a higher value or a higher expectation. And I will say, honestly, if women were to kind of splay the way we see our male counterparts, it wouldn't necessarily have the same positive impact that we look comfortable. And so I do think that there's a happy medium. Okay. One of the ground rules that I do encourage my clients to take on is take up space. Yeah. Because when you take up space, you're saying, I feel comfortable owning this territory around me. But I think there's a way to do it without splaying or being unprofessional. And that means reach out, use the space in front of you to have hand gestures. Make sure that your voice is full so that you are speaking with optimal volume. And all these cues are saying, yeah, I feel comfortable taking up space, but without maybe crossing a line of what would be considered polite behavior.
Exactly. So how do you practice this? I mean, I know people can work with you to work on these skills, correct? If you wanted to practice this on your own, like in, you know, you learn something from you as a coach, and then you want to practice on your own, is that in front of the mirror? Do you grab a friend and say, analyze my body language? Do you videotape yourself? What's the best way to really see yourself?
I am not an advocate of practicing in front of the mirror, because when we're standing in front of a mirror, we are responding to what we're seeing, and we don't have that tool available to us in the real world when we're interacting in person. So I'm definitely an advocate of videotaping yourself, because even just a 5-minute conversation to the couch in front of you, you will catch some of your habits, your personal subroutines, and you'll better understand the way that you communicate. I will also say that we do have an advantage of this work from home reality in that we are on Zoom calls and or Skype or WebEx quite often now. You can record yourself and go back and watch your behaviors, but you can also see yourself in the little thumbnail image and double check that you are in fact presenting yourself the way you think you are presenting yourself.
No, that's great. And you know, let's just talk a little bit about confidence, because you mentioned that before. So if you, I guess the question is, how much self-confidence or self-esteem goes into this? In other words, if you recognize that there are some body language issues, is that a sign to the professional that you need to work on your confidence and do things that build you up that way? And then it'll come out in your body language.
Well, I actually work the other direction, that if we wait until we feel confident to take action, we may be waiting a very long time. And it's okay to risk and stretch outside of your boundaries before you're ready. As a matter of fact, I so encourage people to do that. To
come out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, stretch boundaries. But I do say this, when you build a strong skill set, an authentic mindset will follow. So if you feel like you have the skills on your side to present yourself well, you just naturally internally feel better, feel more empowered. So that's, I would go about it that direction. Build the skill set, which means learn the skills of strong posture, strong voice, strong eye contact. And then if you know you look good, you'll feel better from the inside.
It's really interesting. I wanted to ask you, so, you know, you've spent your career researching and building your company, and you wrote the book on the credibility code. So did you have any really big aha moments as you were going along, or even an uh-oh moment that sort of has stuck with you as you were doing all this work?
Well, I did early on. I was a solo entrepreneur, and I recognized it was fairly difficult for me to talk myself up. And not only did I personally find it difficult to just toot my own horn, it didn't always land as effectively as I hoped either. And then my husband joined my business, and he became our business development director. It was easy for him to talk me up. And because he could say, oh, Kara's fantastic. You're going to love her. People rave. Now, I could never say that about myself and expect it to be a positive thing. Women who boast are often get a lot of pushback, but he could say it about me. So the aha moment is that it's really nice to have advocates on your side who can speak of your capabilities. And whether you do that with some sort of business partner, or if you're in a conference room with other people, making sure to lift up other people and continually praise them for their capabilities. It's easier for us to do that from the outside than for someone to do that from the inside. So I just think it's helpful to have people on your team, to have a crew who can talk you up.
Absolutely. I mean, we have to know what we're really good at and do that and surround ourselves with people who can sort of lift you and do things that, you know, you don't do as well yourself. Absolutely. So speaking of your business and everything that you've done in your career, lots of success. What about challenges? Do you feel like you know, at this stage of the game, are your challenges the same as they were when you were becoming an entrepreneur? Because I know my audience sees a lot of guests with incredible stories and you're all super successful and amazing, but are there challenges?
I would say the biggest challenge is recognizing that I not only have to be good at what I do, so being a keynote speaker or providing training, but the bigger my company grows, I actually need to be a good boss. I need to better understand how to run a business. Yeah. And I would say early on, my entire focus was on getting out there in front of my clients or being with my clients, and that's what I thought my job was. But now I recognize there's a lot of back end to being an entrepreneur that I also need to be attentive to, making sure that I have good values for my company, that my employees feel that they're making contributions and that I cultivate them. And that I'm also just recognizing that this is an entity unto itself. It's not just me going out there and doing the work.
That's right. You have a team and you have to make sure they're happy and everybody's collaborating and you're this fine-tuned engine. It does. It takes a lot because, especially for entrepreneurs, I feel like we're always idea-driven and we want to get out there and speak and help and work with clients. But yes, there is the business side of things that definitely can't be neglected. What inspires you just to do what you do every single day?
What inspires me is when I see change or empowerment. And I do see it all the time, because when you break down for someone what seems to them a really big problem, in other words, they've received feedback that they're not coming across as confident enough or not approachable enough, or maybe they're too aggressive or too nice, and they receive this feedback and they do take it personally, of course. Yeah. It's hard not to. But they may be left wondering, well, what do I do about that? I understand the goal, which is gain confidence or be more approachable, but how? And my job is to step in and identify what is the exact behavior that needs to be adjusted. And sometimes it is just a straightforward, simple skills gap. Like, for example, using downward inflections rather than upward inflections.
Yeah.
I mean, and so what looks like this big character trait that they have to change about themselves, really just a straightforward skill. And then that transition is fast. And that just feels empowering to me. That makes it all worthwhile.
That's awesome. Are there other, on that note, are there other little simple things that maybe you can share that people can adjust and it's not a whole big change your character or who you are?
Absolutely. Well, especially since now we're doing so much work from home and video conference is primary. Just understanding the power of the visuals, your framing, your lighting, your angles. That I see with my clients, what we want to do in this format is create relationships, of course. And the more you can get rid of the cue that says this is artificial, that we're not this, or makeshift in some way, right, the closer or the faster that relationship will be. So the goal is to look like you're just simply across the desk from someone, even if you're in virtual settings. I see a lot of conversations that will look like this, or the camera's down like this, and
This is a lot of nostrils, lady.
Yeah, exactly. I one time saw a whole conversation that looked like this.
Oh, no.
I was typing away. This is such a quick fix to pay attention to how you're coming across on the other side. But the purpose isn't so that you look good. It's so that you're sending a message that you're just accessible and across the table from someone so that they feel more comfortable and a closer bond.
Absolutely. What about, I heard this along the lines too, somewhere, that the face touching, the touching of the nose, that can say a couple of different things. It can say either you're unsure or that you're outright lying about what you're talking about. But I mean, it could also mean your nose is itchy, but is that true?
Well, I have heard that before. I've heard that research that when people are lying, they're more likely to touch their nose. But that doesn't mean that when someone touches their nose that they are lying to you. But being attentive to any kind of, I didn't make this term up, it's a behavioral psychology term, but the term self-touch. We tend to hold ourselves, touch ourselves when we're under great stress.
Ah.
So if I were shocked, I might say, I might hold on like this. One tell of nervousness and intimidation is when people do this sort of thing, this a little bit of finger touching or ring playing or a touching of clothes or having
this.
To play with the hair or the ears. And it could also mean that you have a scratch. So it can mean a lot of things. But being attentive to recognizing if you spend a lot of time interacting with your own body, then it could send a message that you are intimidated or uncomfortable in the situation.
Oh my gosh. I just read an article and it had to do with FBI investigators that when they're interrogating, that if the witness is looking at the door, it's because they want to get the hell out and that they're not telling the truth. And also the way your feet are pointing. If you're pointing toward the door, that's a tell as well. I just find this whole thing so fascinating.
Yes, I read something along this line as well. And I do believe that it is true. People tend to face in the direction that's most important to them. So if you are feeling like you really want to leave, we have a tendency to start turning toward the door. But I read an interesting story about that. The idea here is, yes, that is a generality. And yet you should always clarify. So I heard one story of a police officer who said he was interviewing a victim of a crime. And after he started to get to a certain line of questioning, she began to dart her eyes toward the door and turn herself toward the door. Wow. And he thought, maybe there is something here that she doesn't want to tell. So he asked the verifying question, which was, is there something you want to tell us? And she said, yes, I only put a certain amount of time in the meter. I'm so afraid I'm going to get a ticket. So it's true. She did want to leave.
Right.
She wanted to leave. That's where we have to be very careful about interpreting too much into someone's body language signals that we should always verify.
That's really interesting because, I do a lot of media training. And I share that you have to clear your mind because whatever's going on in your world that day or an hour before you go into that interview, it could play out in your body language. And it has nothing to do with you being nervous or uncomfortable around the conversation, but it's just something else that's harboring in the back of your mind. And in the case of the woman who she's worried, right? It was about something else. And that's something to watch out for. Oh my goodness. I can't tell you that this has been so interesting and I could pick your brain on body language clearly for much more time. We're actually at the part of the show where you get to share your advice with the Women Worldwide audience. So just to kind of round it out, Kara, if you could give a little bit of parting advice to our network, what would you say to them in terms of getting themselves feeling comfortable and really connecting how they're feeling with their nonverbal communication?
Great. Well, I would say the biggest mistake that I see out there is that people are unaware of how they are coming across. Because we intend to come across in a certain way, we think we are, in fact, coming across that way. So I would, once again, verify your advice before about getting yourself on camera, acknowledging that. Absolutely. I'm 100% behind that, because you do need to get an outside eye of how, what skills you are exhibiting. And this is a bitter pill to swallow. But if we are being ineffective, it's almost certainly unintentional. Nobody is ineffective on purpose.
Right.
So if we aren't representing ourselves well, if we aren't sending signals that show off our potential or our expertise, it's almost certainly because we are unaware of the behaviors we're exhibiting or unaware of the impact that they're having. So outside eye is really helpful, even if it's just self-directed and you do a self-evaluation. But I would never assume that you own a skill until you have proof.
That is really good advice. Okay, last question, super easy. Where can people find out about you, your work, and your book?
Great. Well, I would love for people to connect with me on LinkedIn, and that's Kara Hale-Alter. You can look me up there. And you can find in my posts other little videos of tips along the way. You can also find information about our workshops and our online programs by going to speechskills.com. We have lots of virtual programs right now as we're doing a lot of work from home.
That's awesome. Well, I hope everybody checks out your courses virtually now, of course, and then hopefully sometime in person. Kara, thank you so much for coming on the show, for sharing your journey and all of your advice and insights. It's been really interesting. Thank you.
Thank you, Deirdre. It's just been a delight to talk to you.
Thank you. And I want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Please keep your feedback coming. You can always tweet me. I'm at Dee Breckenridge. You can post in our Facebook group or email me, Deirdre@pureperformancecom.com. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay safe, healthy, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.